You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. And find us on Instagram, at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. If you want to be a part of our voicemails on tomorrow's episode, drop us your voicemails at 331-979-1369. Do it if you want to hear yourself on the show. Be playing all of those on tomorrow's episode. Once again, 331-979-1369. Matt, welcome back. Happy Thursday to you. Sorry to all of our listeners. Got our episode out a little bit late yesterday, so probably catching up on some of these episodes from this past week. Maybe you're catching up on yesterday's episode. It was a full hour. Spent time talking about the Lakers loss and catching up through our text line, trying to run through as many texts as possible. So we'll get to all of our voicemails on tomorrow's episode. We originally had a guest plan for today's episode. We were going to have Darnell Mayberry on today, but he was juggling a bunch of things. And credit to him, he is right now covering this Bulls team. As many of the beat writers are, just couldn't line up our schedules, but we'll have him on next week, so get excited for that. But with that, we've got plenty of things to talk about on today's episode. But before we do that, Matt, how are we doing?
What's up, Jordan? Happy Thursday to you and Bulls Nation as well. Looking forward to another wintry weekend here in Chicago. Hopefully we don't get completely plastered with snow and Arctic temperatures, but it sounds like we could be in for some typical Chicago January weather on the way this weekend. But good news, bad news. The good news, we only have one more game on this five-game West Coast road trip. It ends tonight, as some emo band would say. I'm looking forward to watching tonight's game against Denver. It's a shame that we'll probably be without Wendell, who had a really solid game against them the first time around earlier this season. But, yeah, as you said, we got a lot to get to. There's basically a new story or new elements of a story for all four of the core four if you're talking about LaVine, Markkanen, Dunn, and Wendell over the last 36 hours or
so. The core four sounds like either like a terrible weight loss plan or like, I don't even know, like one of those shitty infomercial diet plans that never works, but you see like some D-list celebrity that's trying to pitch you it like at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep. Like that's what it sounds like to me, but you're totally right. It seems like there's a story every single day. And that's kind of been the way that this Bulls team, this franchise has been for what? I mean, I would even say like the last 3 years, like you could even make an argument for even longer than that. But regardless, yes, the West Coast trip, it's coming to an end and it couldn't end fast enough. And of course, going up against the Denver Nuggets tonight should be something similar to what we saw at the beginning of this road trip against a lot of really good teams, the Denver Nuggets being another one of those really good teams at the top of the Western Conference. It's probably going to be a lot different than when we saw the Denver Nuggets for the first time at the beginning of this season when the Bulls took them to overtime. And if it hadn't been for Justin Holiday not boxing out at the end of the game, the Bulls could have pulled off a win against one of the best teams in the NBA. I don't expect a similar outcome like that tonight, but hey, I've been wrong in the past about this season before. Could be wrong again tonight, but I don't think so, especially without one of your best defenders in Wendell Carter Jr. And maybe we should start there, Matt. Let's talk about Carter's injury.
Yeah, let's do that. Huge sigh of relief everywhere in Bulls Nation yesterday, because it was like a series of updates from a couple of different people on the Bulls beat about Wendell's injured thumb, sore thumb, whatever it was that he suffered during the Lakers game. And then we found out that he was having an MRI because they were worried that there could have been a tear in one of the ligaments in his thumb. Thankfully, that came back negative. There's no tear, which means instead of, you know, guaranteeing Wendell being on the shelf for 4 to 6 weeks and his hand in a cast, where they're calling him day to day, as you said, still probably going to give him the night off tonight, not likely to play. It sounded like from one of the reports, there's also Boylan said, hey, you might as well have that knee looked at while you're doing MRIs because Wendell's had a sore knee recently. They were expecting to get results back for that today, so we'll see what happens there. But all things considered, with all of the injuries this Bulls team has had this season, this one was a sigh of relief.
If that comes back and it's an MCL sprain, I'm going to have some serious issues.
Jeff Tanaka, do your job.
Let's hope that's not the case. And at the time of the recording right now, we haven't had any updates to that. But yeah, I think we've at least escaped the injury bug slightly here with Wendell Carter Jr. It could have been really bad. That initial report was scary because they thought from the first test, if there was a torn ligament, that means he was out at least 4 to 6 weeks because a cast would have been put on it. And 4 to 6 weeks was at least the minimum. And there was fear that there could have been a shutdown for the complete season. But thank God that's not the case. That there was no tear, he's going to be all right, and it's only day to day. But I'm sure the Bulls are going to be as cautious as they can, as cautious as possible with all the injuries that they've had this season. So he'll miss tonight, and I'm sure if he's still not at 100% on Saturday, I'm sure he won't play on Saturday either. But it's good to hear that.
Yeah,
this isn't.
I mean, there are some out there probably who are saying, well, you know, what is it so bad if went like this season is a total bust and a mess anyway? If Wendell's hurt, just shut him down for the rest of the season, and that steers us even more aggressively into the tank. You know, we're competing with a few teams there to finish in that top three. Or bottom three, however you want to describe it. But to me, like Wendell and watching his rookie season, and yes, it's been a struggle some nights when you want to see him more involved offensively, but even just some of the joy that we've gotten out of some of his monster blocks and some of the strong games he's had, like the one against the Denver Nuggets earlier this season when he was, you know, going blow for blow with Jokic, who is like right now looking like one of the best bigs in the league. That is one of the things that has kept me from turning completely cynical about this season, is watching Wendell Carter Jr. Very young, a lot of developing, but he is a bright spot. I know that there aren't many this season, but he is a bright spot. So I don't know about you, Jordan. I'm definitely glad with this news because I want to watch Wendell play for 35 or so more games, however many we have. Yes, the tank is important. getting a getting the number one pick is hugely important. But if we couldn't watch Wendell for the back end of this season, man, we'd be running out of things to find joy in with this team.
Totally agree with you. And for the people out there that said, well, you know, even if he was hurt, I mean, it wouldn't be the worst case in the world. And it's like, yeah, it would. You don't want your 19-year-old rookie center that you just took at the number 7 pick to be hurt and be potentially out for 4 to 6 weeks or potentially the rest of the season. Like, that's the worst-case scenario. And you weren't winning games even with him in the lineup. So, Matt, this just came across my Twitter feed. Just a little nugget for tonight's game, no pun intended there. The Bulls are in Denver tonight where they've lost 11 straight times. On top of that 8-game losing streak the Bulls are currently on, they are on an 11-game losing streak in Denver currently. So, yeah, really not looking good for the Bulls tonight up against a really good team. In on top of the Wendell injury, you know, talking about the center position and what they do going forward, Robin Lopez, if Robin Lopez is going to play tonight, or if Bobby's going to get an extended run at the center position, or if Boylan's going to shuffle between Markkanen and Portis, or if he's going to give, I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but Felicio some run.
Oh, dear God.
What do you think?
You ain't no Michael Jordan.
What do you think his choice is going to be here? Because honestly, I think he's probably going to try to see what Portis can do. I know he had a terrible game against the Lakers, but I think that's probably the logical explanation here. I mean, you just reduced Robin's minutes. I don't see how you can just go back to him again and just keep seesawing this and playing this game. This is just not fair to him, and it's not fair to the rest of the team. You got to stick to something at some point.
Well, so let's start with this. I would be surprised to see Felicio play real minutes in this game, to answer that part of your question.
Agreed.
But, hey,
agreed.
There's a fun walk down memory lane. Felicio played 15 minutes the first time the Bulls and Nuggets played earlier this season. That's a weird box score to go back and look at. Jabari, Justin Holiday, and Campaign all started and played big minutes. You had Felicio get 15 minutes off the bench. Oh, yeah. Congrats to Campaign. Another 10-day contract with the Cavs. back to what Boylan does with the front court. I know that Bobby had a terrible game against the Lakers, but we have also seen him shoot the ball well and play very confidently. And in the embarrassing loss to the Warriors, I think I praised him for this on a recent show, Bobby was the only one who looked like he gave a damn out there. Bobby is heart and soul for this team. He's the effort. He's all the things, the intangibles that Jim Boylan wants. So I think Boylan is going to forgive one poor shooting night from Bobby Portis, who he sees as a guy who can really get him points on a not very strong second unit offensively. So I think he's going to stick with Bobby at the 5 and give Jabari backup minutes at the 4. Rolo's going to stay out of the rotation, and Felicio, he ain't no Michael Jordan.
You ain't no Michael Jordan.
I agree with you, though. Heart and soul with Bobby Portis. And, you know, him and Jabari, I'm assuming, is going to get some more run again tonight, and we'll see how that looks stacking up. You know, two pretty impressive performances from Jabari Parker, considering everything that's factored in over the last, I don't know, month, six weeks, since his benching and everything that's gone into his storyline. So should be interesting to monitor that. But would you find it odd if Jim Boylan went back to Robin Lopez tonight in significant minutes, and significant by meaning over 15 minutes tonight?
This season, you got to roll with the punches, man. Like, we never know what to expect. As far as this team and the rotation, like, sometimes Blakeney's in the doghouse, and sometimes he's out there jacking up a million shots. Sometimes Rolo's in the rotation and Boylan's giving it to him in the post 10 times a game, and sometimes he's not. Like, there is nothing you can take as this is a certainty when it comes to this team and how they operate this season. It is all a giant fucking wild card. So, who knows? I would guess, based on what we've seen recently, Rolo will be a DNP again tonight. Jabari will get back up minutes at the 4, and Boylan will keep Bobby at the backup 5 where they were against the Lakers on Tuesday.
All right, we've got some more stuff to talk about here, some more drama, I guess, to talk about. Trying to read through the tea leaves, read between the lines here of a lot of quotes. And, you know, throughout a season like this, it's a lot of this is trying to read through what guys are saying and listen to the tone of what the players are saying. And, you know, when guys aren't giving you everything that they're feeling or saying, oftentimes you have to read by body language. You have to listen to the tone that they're using, often read the way that their facial expressions are, and add it all up and kind of make an evaluation for yourself. But it shouldn't be 100% all of that. And I think that's what this season has been about, because for a lot of this, we've been fed things that... We've been fed the typical answers that you would get from a Bulls player or from somebody that works for the organization when talking about the struggles or where this team's at or what needs to be improved, et cetera, et cetera. So when talking about Lauri Markkanen, let's start there, and then we'll go to comments about that Zach LaVine made after the Lakers game, and then we'll move to Chris Dunn. A Finnish broadcasting crew... which I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Yle News, they interviewed Lauri Markkanen after the Bulls-Lakers game a few nights ago and talked to him about fighting the injury and just what it's been like since being with the Bulls and returning and in his second year and what his struggles have been like. And this was all in Finnish, and so doing my best, the best I could, I tried to translate everything that he was saying. And he was asked a lot of very interesting questions and gave a lot of more in-depth answers than we normally get here. And that's not discrediting anybody that's covering the Bulls right now. Everybody does a really great job, I think. I think Lauri maybe feels a little bit more comfortable when he's talking to people from Finland.
Because, I mean, honestly, I think he's still working on English as his second language. You know, he to me is not quite fluent, and you can kind of tell when he speaks to the, you know, the media here in Chicago.
So with that in mind, thinking about all of that, here's a couple of things. And, you know, I had been thinking about for a while about how the injury had affected him. And maybe we have been overlooking the fact that his elbow injury, how severe his elbow injury really was, and how much of that is actually affecting his game at this point. And maybe he really isn't 100% still, 21 games in. Maybe he's not 100% still. So starts off with, this season's been mentally difficult for him. He said, this season's been a challenge. When it started with injury, it was a tough place. Despite it, I've been trying to fight through. And the article mentioned that he kind of sighed off after saying that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, talking specifically about the injury, some of the problems have been coming with his hand. He said nothing's been preventing him from playing, but he said he still gets tightness around the elbow, the source of the injury. And he said it's been treated daily, and all of the strength isn't back 100%, but it's something that's been a slow process, improving daily, but it's taking longer than he might have expected. And he said there's been effects there. It's not 100%, but it's improving every day. So it still is a lingering effect.
Yeah, I think that's something that you and I were a little curious about, because we've talked about Markkanen not being quite as aggressive as we would hope. Since he's come back from that elbow, and wondering if it has still bothered him a little bit. And clearly, he admitted to that much, at least, that, yeah, it's been a process getting myself to feel comfortable. It's still, like, there's still some soreness involved, which you have to imagine, on some nights, at least, affects the way he plays. Because there are some nights when Markkanen's three ball is falling, he looks really confident shooting in that element of his game. And there are some nights when you see him attack the basket, but he's only put together a handful of what I would say are, you know, really strong, dominant offensive games compared to however many we saw him put together in his rookie season. So I think there's all this talk about the sophomore slump and the stagnation of Markkanen, and a lot of people starting to wonder, is Jim Boylan crippling Markkanen in some way with what they're doing offensively? And it seems like Markkanen has some comments on that as well, which you can get to in a second. But at least, like, to me, it's a little bit, you know, of a relief, as much as it is a bummer to hear him admit that the elbow is still causing some issues and he's still getting through it. Like, to me, it's like, all right, at least we have some kind of explanation.
I agree with that. And this was a little bit more open and honest about the injury, too. And I think since his return, everybody has expected him to take some incredible leap. And what I think all of us need to do is take kind of a step back and realize and add all of this up. It's like, remember, he didn't have a training camp. And I want to preface everything that I'm going to say here, too, is this might all sound like excuses for a player that you and I have said that we really like. And it may sound like some excuses, too, but we have said that Lowry needs to make some improvements. But
right.
We need to factor the injury in, too, because it is a serious injury that's affecting him. So here, listen, hear me out for the Bulls fans that are listening. He didn't have a training camp, and the original estimate of his injury was 6 to 8 weeks. September 28th was when the injury was announced. He had a setback during that injury. The injury was pushed back 9 to 11 weeks was the estimated time. He ended up returning December 1st, which was about 10 weeks. It took him 10 weeks to come back from that injury. Didn't have a training camp, was able to still work out, but all that muscle that he gained over the summer, all that upper body strength that he was able to gain, well, when he was sitting around for 3 months, which he mentions in this article, in this interview, he said he was able to work on his lower body strength, keep his legs in shape, but some of that upper body strength he wasn't able to work on, and he wasn't able to keep up, so he lost that.
Yeah. I mean, you can even kind of tell when we were talking this summer about how jacked Markkanen looked in some of his pictures while he was playing for the Finnish national team, and even just looking at him now, when you're watching these games on TV, like, he clearly lost some of that upper body strength. It's visibly noticeable.
Even if you go back and listen to some of the comments and you read some of the comments that Hoiberg had while he was still here and when he was asked for updates on Lauri Markkanen, you know, he talked about, too, he's like, Markkanen's still making his way back. He's learning how to shoot and get back to his regular form without pain and learning how to not compensate for that type of pain and get back to his normal form. And that's something that I wonder if is kind of messing with his head mentally and is messing with the aggressiveness. That's something that I think a lot of Bulls fans are starting to point out about Markkanen's game this year that's missing from last year is the aggressiveness that he's had, especially going to the basket. It's like last year you just saw this burst and just no fear of flight, of attacking, and just banging bodies with guys, and that has sort of changed. Like, you see a lot more fadeaways, a lot more backing down, and maybe that's part of the system, but it's also, I think, compensating for a potential injury, too, or the injury, I think, is still playing a huge factor and a huge role. And, you know, 21 games is still considered, I would say, is still considered a pretty small sample size for a guy that hasn't had a training camp.
Yeah. And he did say in these comments to the Finnish media that we're kind of, you know, talking it through, and Jordan, you had a tweet kind of translating some of his thoughts, is that not only did he not have a training camp where Fred Hoiberg was running the show, they are also now trying to get through the overhaul and change of a brand new system under Jim Boylan, for which there is, guess what, no training camp because they're in the middle of a season. So even when Jim Boylan can throw, you know, one of his hard, you know, two-hour-long practices in there here or there, when they're on a road trip like this, even when they're not constantly on the move, in an 82-game season, you can't, as a coach, get all of those messages through to your players and run sets enough times over and over and over until you get them right, until they're second nature, the way you can in August and September and the first half of October when you're getting ready to play a season. So not only did Markkanen miss the actual training camp, but now he's being asked to come back from an injury and play in an offensive system that is completely different than what he was doing under Fred Hoiberg. So I think he deserves a little bit of slack there, too.
Agreed with you. Totally agree with you on that. Just continuing on, more so outside of the injury, he had some other interesting things to say just overall about what the season has been and how it's played out. And, you know, credit to the Finnish media. You know, they've been a pretty direct with Markkanen, and it seems like Markkanen has been more comfortable about answering things a little bit more direct than maybe in the past, and maybe it's just being a little bit more comfortable and not being a rookie this season. Some of the other things I gathered from it, he says he is still in search of his game like the rest of the team, says it's been difficult with a new system when roles are varying all the time. He said, I try to stay positive and keep an open mind. Instead of blaming others, I look in the mirror and wonder what I can do better. Matt, that to me stood out among anything else that I read throughout this article. That to me speaks and screams young leader. Like, to me, that's huge. Instead of blaming others, I look in the mirror and wonder what I can do better. To me, that's huge.
It's encouraging stuff. I mean, we've talked about who the hell the leader of this team is. And since Boylan's takeover, which has been, what, like 20 games worth of time now, it seems like he is the de facto leader because he's the drill sergeant and he's trying to get everybody to fall in line. None of the players, despite... you know, a little bit of lip service here and there from guys like Dunner Levine have really emerged. And we talk about Markkanen wanting to be a focal point of this team, not just offensively, but being the face of this team and growing into that role. Whereas right now, because of the contract and because of the stardom and the dunk contests and whatever, it's kind of default Levine. But to hear these kind of comments from Markkanen is encouraging because you know that it's someone who's looking at a very trying season for him as an individual and for the team he plays for in a way that is, you know, introspective and what can I do better? Like you said, as opposed to the finger pointing, which when your team loses a lot of games, finger pointing comes naturally. But it was nice to hear this kind of stuff from Lowry, and you hope that he is following through with these kind of comments with his actions, because we're between the injuries and the this and the that and the no training camp and the change of the system, we're giving Markkanen a little bit of a pass here, but we can't give him a pass completely. I still need to see Markkanen become a bigger and more vocal leader. I still need to see Markkanen become more aggressive in the last 30 or so games this season. It's nice to hear these things from Markkanen, which we don't really hear too much from him. He's pretty quiet and tight-lipped with the media. Now it's about observing him putting these thoughts into action.
He talks about the losses this year and what it's done to the way that guys have played. And he said losing a lot of games has forced them to not play freely. And this is something that, I've picked up on things that Chris Dunn has said, picked up on Zach LaVine. And this is no secret if you've been watching Bulls games all season. When the Bulls go down 6 and then they go down 10 and then they go down 15, what do you start to see on the offensive side? Zach LaVine goes one-on-one in isolation, misses a shot. They run down on defense. They score an easy bucket. They come back. Chris Dunn tries to do it himself. They miss, come back down. They score a bucket. And then it's back and forth. They all take turns trying to be the man. And soon enough, you find yourself down 18 or 20. And I think that's what Markkanen is talking about, is they all feel the pressure to all need to do it by themselves, and not playing freely makes them all feel like they need to do it themselves and individually. And I think that's where he feels bogged down as a player, as opposed to last year where they could just go out and didn't need to worry about anything, and they just go out and play and shoot and play their game. And that's why you were seeing some of those steady improvements and some of those highlights, and in parts, three quarters of the season they were playing without LaVine, and I wonder how much that factors into it too. And that could be a totally different discussion for a different day, but I thought that was interesting as well.
I mean, that comment in particular raised a skeptic eyebrow for me, because to me, I saw that comment and I was like, this to me is kind of a, which came first, chicken or the egg scenario. Because the comment is, losing a lot of games has forced us to not play freely. So is it that, or are you losing a lot of games because you're not playing freely? Because this is a Jim Boylan run team now and a Jim Boylan run offense, and they're trying to get Jim Boylan's stuff right and run what Jim Boylan wants, and we're getting 24-second shot clock violations up the wazoo on a nightly basis, whereas in Fred's system, yes, they were also losing games under Fred, but here we are. We have 10 wins. We're losing just as many games under Jim Boylan. And in Fred's system, at least, Fred, it seemed, was trying to at least communicate to his young team, just play with pace, get the ball up the floor, don't let your opponent's defense get set, move the ball around, and if you have an open shot, take it. That's basically the entirety of Fred's system. It's not that complicated. But with Boylan and the we're going to crawl before we can blah, before we can blah, before we can blah, they like the comment about not playing freely to me just screams Jim Boylan. And the fact that his young players are trying to get correctly what he wants them to do, which involves slowing things down significantly. So, you know, are you losing a lot of games because you're not playing freely, or are you not playing freely because you're losing a lot of games? To me, it's like, I think it's one more so than the other.
So let me follow up on this really fast. So the question that was originally asked, more so was talking about the key injuries all season long, talking about specifically speaking Chris Dunn, Bobby Portis, Denzel Valentine, and talking about how it's reflected on his own game and maybe some of the other players and what they've been trying to do. And he said it's trying to do everything every day all at once. But he said, yes, it does have an effect. He said the game would be different if we were winning all the time. He said the bench would play a bit more freely. Everybody would play a little bit more freely. He said, I think the pressure of just trying to do everything is mentally harder. And you can follow with me in the DMs if you want to message me about anything about this. Feel free to do so. But yes, basically, what he's saying, I think, is at times when guys go down with injuries that are important, role players or guys that are important to the team, it just feels like there's so much pressure on every single one of our individuals to try to do everything all at once. And mentally, that's taken a toll on a lot of guys.
Yeah, I think that is kind of that's a fair assessment, because it's just all sorts of issues and problems piled on top of losses, piled on top of issues and problems and the injuries. And the, like, as we were just, you know, kind of talking about, it's been a very trying season. And that's why, you know, the good news of Wendell, which really quickly, officially, as we are recording, it is official. He is out tonight. Bobby Portis was running with the starters, according to Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune. We'll get an announcement on official starting lineup tonight, but Wendell expected to play Saturday. So that's good news. But that's why we were saying, like, just even that little bit of good news for us was a sigh of relief, because as fans watching, it has been hard, and it has been a struggle. So, of course, the players themselves, and, you know, we can get into what Zach LaVine and his most recent comments, of course they are going to feel like it's just they're trying to juggle a million things at once while getting punched in the face. Like, that, we feel like that. So, of course, the players feel like that, too.
Right. All right, Matt. I know we're spending a ton of time on this, but really, this is good stuff. This is the first time, not the first time, but really diving into Markkanen speaking his mind and talking about some of the difficult things that he's experienced this season in length. The last thing I've got for you is just his relationship with Boylan and talking about his style going forward to the rest of the season. So here's the last two little things. He says, speaking about his game and what he needs to do through the rest of the season, more specifically about what Boylan said he needs, what Markkanen needs to do, and how he wants him to be a little bit more of a selfish player at times, you know, take the shot instead of making the extra pass. And, you know, when he's got the ball, he's got to make that shot. He's got to take that shot as opposed to passing it off to somebody else. And Markkanen kind of followed that up by saying, I refuse to be a selfish player in a team game, but I also recognize that I need to be more aggressive at times. I need to attack the basket, and I need to be that type of player. But he also said, I need to add another skill. I need to add other aspects to my game to have an upper hand on other players, because you see it, teams have started to adapt. They've started to put smaller guys on me, and teams have started to adapt to the way I've played last year. And so I'm starting to learn from that. So it's going to take some time for him to be able to do that. And the last thing was, even though Markkanen has been a little bit more critical than maybe he was of Hoiberg's style and system, and I wouldn't even say critical, I would say he's been a little bit more vocal about how difficult it is to change to a new system. He said Boylan and Markkanen's relationship on a personal level seems to be pretty good. Because the reporter, and I don't know if this was a joke, and again, I don't know, this is the language barrier between the question being asked in Finnish and it being translated to English. I don't know if this was the reporter cracking a joke here, saying that Boylan has taken over as kind of Lauri Markkanen's quasi-athletic trainer. And Markkanen said, yeah, he's sort of done that, but he's got the credit there because he's established the relationship beforehand, before becoming head coach. And so on a personal level, seems like their relationship is pretty good. He said, that's been built up before he was head coach, and it's allowed me to talk to him basically about anything, and that's really helped throughout my rookie year and up until this point. So for as much shit as we've given Boylan in the 6 weeks he's been head coach, at least he's established a relationship that seems to be pretty good, and Markkanen's been open and honest about saying that, and his personal relationship with Jim Boylan has been
well. And you know, it doesn't do Markkanen any good to say otherwise. I mean, media, if he had issues with Jim Boylan, he could talk to his people about it. He could talk to the people in his circle, the people that he trusts. But
the leadership committee,
The leadership committee. But for right now, it's, you know, whether or not the relationship between Markkanen and Boylan is strong, I would be surprised to hear otherwise. This is a team that had a near mutiny against their new head coach. So clearly the front office and everyone in that organization, I'm sure, would be really bristled if anything other than we're all getting along great, everything's fine and dandy, was coming out of the mouths of any of their players, because they want to project the fact that this has been handled and everyone's on the same page. The losing is tough, but they're fighting through it as a team. Now, I'm not saying that that's the picture that I'm buying. I'm just saying that that's the picture that the organization would like to put out there. So I would be surprised to see or hear comments from the player saying my relationship with Jim Boylan, it sucks. Like that. At the same time, and let's get to Levine now, if anyone were to come out and say, I have a problem with Jim Boylan and the way he's trying to coach this team, I don't like it, it's not working for me, we got to do something about this, it's the guy with the biggest contract who is, you know, asked to be the face of the franchise right now, asked to carry the scoring load on a nightly basis, and recently had some interesting comments about what kind of sway he has as far as where this organization goes from here, and the fact that he's none too pleased with the current situation. So this was a Joe Cowley piece for the Sun-Times yesterday. Headline, which, you know, Cowley's headlines are always interesting. Bulls guard Zach LaVine hopes to have some say with the front office this summer. And, you know, Cowley puts his fancy window dressings and, throws all sorts of interesting paint at the wall to see what sticks as far as his creativity bending stories. But the quotes are what are important. Asked about having a little bit of a say-so as far as what happens this offseason and what direction this team is going, here's the quote from LaVine. I think I have a good relationship with the front office and the coaching staff, but we'll see how good this summer. I'm not worried about it right now, but let this play out and those times will change once that time comes. Hell, we're going to need that eventually as far as adding more star power, but because if what we're doing right now isn't working, something has to change. I think we'll evaluate that in the summer. Regardless, I'm going to go out there, try and do my best for this team and myself. That's all I can do until we get to the off season. So it seems like LaVine's already looking forward to this season being over and done with. Like he's being a good soldier in the meantime. For the most part, he's going out there, he's trying to ball every night. He's carrying a pretty big load on the offensive end. Fans can believe or not believe in LaVine the player and his star potential, whatever. I mean, there's no debate in the fact that the dude's going out there and trying to get this team wins. He's failing right now, but he's trying out there. Which is why I thought he always had issues with the fact that Boylan questioned their toughness. LaVine is the one who really spoke up about that and said, hey, man, that's not cool. Don't question my toughness. Nobody in the NBA is running more miles than me right now. So how about you shut the F up? So to me, these comments from Cali's latest from LaVine are interesting because it makes you wonder what he is going to say to the front office come offseason time to say, all right, guys, what the hell's the plan? Because what we just went through, I ain't doing that again.
What he was expecting this year is far from what is actually happening this year. And I'll just say as a side note, Matt, can you think that he probably thinks that he would have been far better off with that Sacramento Kings team this year than he would have been with this Bulls team? You know, he's probably thinking, I maybe wish that the Bulls wouldn't have matched my contract this year.
So this is a story I heard. I don't think it ever actually got out to a published story in the media. But from earlier on this season, when they were going through the coaching transition and there were all the near mutiny things, and there were a couple of games where LaVine was taken out of a game and he was not happy about it. At some point in a practice, he said something in the direction of the front office, along the lines of, why the hell did you match that contract offer from Sacramento? Do you even want me here?
Yeah.
Do you even want me here? And if, like, why the hell am I here? Why did you match? So I heard that from a pretty reliable source earlier this season. And I can't blame LaVine based on what we're seeing here. And there was another interesting quote in that Cowley piece. LaVine sitting here saying, it feels like my rookie year again right now, but I'm just older in the process of it. We have a lot of young guys, and when you're younger, like 19 or 20, you're working on your game. But when you're a few years in and you have goals, I'm not going to lie, this is getting tough, man. I'm trying to stay locked in and level-headed, but this is getting tough. LaVine did not think that the Bulls were going to be 10-34 right now. Did not think that. I don't think you or I thought that. I thought that they were going to be a sub-500 team that was, you know, maybe going to sniff the eighth playoff seed at best if they overachieved. But 10-34, and yeah, some of it's injuries, but you have, like, I'm sure LaVine has thought about that. Man. Would I be happier and better off had I matched that deal with Sacramento? And look, the Western Conference is a giant onslaught of juggernauts. So long term, if the Bulls find themselves a better coach this offseason, who LaVine likes and gets along with, and they add some talent, maybe they get lucky and add Zion, they find a system that works, everybody takes a step forward and rebuild year three, like, this can all be fixed. And I truly do believe that. It can all be fixed, but right now you can't fault LaVine for feeling pretty goddamn pessimistic about it.
Yeah, there's some warning signs here for me, at least, as a fan. And it should be some warning signs for other people that are looking at this. And realize who Zach LaVine is. You know, the basketball player, you can disagree about who that is and whether or not you believe in the skills that he has and if he can be that type of player. We can all agree to disagree on that, so you can all have your opinions. The one thing that is fact is Zach LaVine has a ton of connections and is friends with a lot of top-tier players in this league. That's one guy that I said from day one when we made that trade, is that's a guy that can go out and recruit for you. You make him mad. This is a warning sign, Matt, that this can go in two different directions. It comes summertime, if the Bulls commit to Jim Boylan and Zach LaVine is still upset with the way things are going and he doesn't agree with the system, I think it's going to go two ways. Either they say, we're going to commit to Jim Boylan, Zach LaVine still doesn't like it, still frustrated, he's going to ask for a trade and say, I want out of here. Or it goes the other way. Jim Boylan's out. Zach LaVine can find a coach the Bulls can come to an agreement on a coach. Zach LaVine likes the coach. And they come to an agreement. And Zach LaVine can actually go out and recruit for you. Because guess what? The Bulls have hashtag flexibility.
And really, we've kept our flexibility long term.
So there's a little responsibility.
Right.
For.
And guess who is not going to be a very successful person or thing to dangle to free agents as a recruiting tool? Their current head coach, Jim Boylan, who his players nearly mutinied against and is running a very archaic offense and is making his team do push-ups and wind sprints and practices after back-to-backs, which you can call it soft, you can call it whatever as a fan, but the players, there is one reality, and the players around the NBA look at that and say, oh, right. Hell no. So, I mean, is it a coach's league or is it a player's league? It's a player's league. It's funny that this team, when faced with the decision between Jimmy Butler and Fred Hoiberg, chose Fred Hoiberg, and look at where we are now. I can't imagine them choosing coach over player again if it comes to that with Boylan and LaVine, because you're very on the money there, Jordan. Zach LaVine is a talented enough guy and a charismatic enough guy with the connections that he might be able to, despite all of the no one will ever come here because nobody trusts this organization stuff, might be able to bring some of his talented free agent friends here. Jim Boylan will not. That is a simple
fact.
Let
me be a little critical on Zach LaVine real fast, because I've been a staunch fan of him since day one. Here's where he needs to hold himself accountable real quick. From now to the end of the season, let's say for the fact that Zach LaVine and Jim Boylan don't get along, and maybe they do make that move where Jim Boylan is gone at the end of the season and they get that wish. Zach LaVine, since the beginning of the season to the end of the season, really has been playing with this kind of pouty attitude. Do you agree or disagree, Matt?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Kind of a disconnected at times, kind of got that starish attitude after getting paid. And look, he's had to carry the team with all of those injuries at the beginning of the season, but at some point, that excuse is going to wear off. So as the second highest paid player on this team, and once Jabari Parker's contract is up and is off the books, he is now the highest paid player on this team and is looked to as being the number one guy on this team in the short term. So use that responsibility, that clout that you have as a player, use that this summer. And that's the main responsibility. So use that and go out and help recruits in Chicago. That's your main responsibility. So there is some accountability to be held on Zach LaVine's end too. So if the Bulls can find an agreement with him and find some middle ground here in the summer, like he's talking about, and come to some type of consensus, and they can find some middle ground and some zen here, he needs to do a ton this summer to go out and recruit. And even if it's not this summer, over the next two summers, if this is going to stay long term, he's got to do it, because there's nobody else on this roster that's going to. Nobody else on this roster has the connections that he does. As the Chicago Bulls front office, I would check myself as well, because if things go bad and it's worst case scenario and all of a sudden we're sounding the alarm and Zach LaVine is pressing the red button and says, eject, 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 I want out, and you go and trade him, what do you think he's going to say? What do you think he's going to say to players around the league and everybody else? Just the way that it's going to fall in line with everybody else that's been traded or moved on out of town.
It goes in line with one of our texters from yesterday saying, "Yeah, this team can't keep all-star caliber players." And they chose to trade Jimmy Butler. They chose to trade Derrick Rose, but the inability to sign big name free agents, and all the reasons for that would take an even bigger hit if LaVine came out publicly and said, trade me, I don't want to be here. Like, that is a bad look for an organization that already has to deal with that kind of reputation. Some of it, certainly, at least some of it deserved. You can argue until the cows come home about how deserved it is that they have that reputation. But regardless, they have it. The Bulls right now have that eyesore reputation of nobody wants to come play here for reasons X, Y, and Z. If Zach LaVine, the guy that they decided to match a pretty big contract for and say, he's our guy, we want him, we want to keep him, we were really happy to get him in the Butler trade, all of a sudden is an added problem on the giant pile of X, Y's, and Z's for why people don't want to play here, yeesh, that would be a bad look.
Zach LaVine doesn't have to be the number one guy on this team. Zach LaVine doesn't have to be the number two guy on this team. Go out and recruit those guys. The Bulls got enough money to do that. So be that. That's the most important part at this point. Go out and recruit your best friends who are top-tier level players and can convince them to come here. And Chicago will love you for that if you can do that. That's part of the responsibility of being that quote-unquote star that you want to be. So that's part of the responsibility of being a star. And look, Zach is a big market guy, and that's what he wants to be. So to say that he would trade out of a big market city like Chicago would take fire and flames, I think. And there's warning signs right now, but I think it's going to take a big push for that to happen. But there is some responsibility on both sides, and that's another big one this summer, and I think we should continue to check in on that. But I did find it alarming that, what are we, 44 games into the season, and Zach LaVine has already said, you know, there's got to be some discussions and some other stuff being talked about looking forward to this offseason. And I mean, he's not the only one thinking these things. And he's been more direct than anybody else on this team this season.
And you hope he continues to speak his mind. There may come a point where the front office approaches Zach and says, like, hey, man, like, I know this is a tough season. I know it's been hard on you. I know we've asked a lot of you, and it hasn't been fun and it hasn't been easy. Just bear with us. And when we get to the offseason, we'll talk about what our plans are, and we want you to be involved in what those plans are. And we want you, you know, to feel like your opinion matters, and they can, you know, say all the things to say to him to get him to calm down and just grin and bear it through this stuff and the final, you know, 35 games of the season. And just hang in there with us, and we'll address this, and we'll talk about where we go from here when we make it through this trying season. But in the meantime, please do your best to not verbally bash the organization.
Agreed. Last thing I got for you is, if you feel frustrated as a Bulls fan and think nobody else that's watching this, as far that's paying attention to this Bulls team, is frustrated, that you know the players are frustrated, but Darnell also noted that people that he's spoken to that are close to the Bulls players are also saying some of the same things that Bulls players are saying, you know, that they're just as frustrated, just as confused, and don't really know what else is going on with this team, you know, just as confused, just as head scratching, just as frustrated with what the Bulls are doing as far as the direction, the future, and what the hell is going on with this team. So clearly there is some things, and we're not the only ones as Bulls fans seeing this. So there's people directly connected with everybody in that locker room that's seeing the same exact things we are all seeing.
Yeah.
So,
and it's tough. It is tough, but hey, you know, good news. Let's remind everyone the good news. Wendell, no torn ligament in the thumb, won't play tonight, but expected to play on Saturday. He even tested the thumb out and did a little bit at this morning shoot around, according to Casey Johnson's latest update. So, you know, it's hard to find the light here, but let's end on some positive.
Hey, and the knee came back clear too, so.
Whew. All right. Look at this. All kinds of great news today.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern and 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up. Text messages, voicemails. We'll do all of your voicemails tomorrow, so get those in. 331-979-1369 is the place to hit us up. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Enjoy Bulls and Nuggets tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com